We're going to establish a strategic Bitcoin reserve for the city of Roswell, and I need your help.
This sort of story is the reason some Bitcoiner in the Northeast is going to send sats to some little town in Roswell just because they appreciate what they're doing.
Building a strategic reserve in your town, in your city, and then solving problems like heat in the winter through Bitcoin mining, like those are very practical things that any Bitcoiner can do.
Guess what? By the way, I also solved another problem. And so he showed them their Bitcoin address and their jaw just dropped. Like, because they had mined a significant amount of Bitcoin. They're like, where did this come from?
Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer here with me and Adam Semeca. Today, guys, we are jumping into a very particular story. It's an SBR that actually exists and seems to have some teeth. Adam, you are here to tell the story because you are intimately involved in this. So let's start at the beginning. Why don't you talk about what we are going to show on the screen here and tell me how you got involved with what's going on in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, so from the top, I believe Roswell, New Mexico, just to kind of start at the end, Roswell, New Mexico established a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And one interesting thing about that is I believe they were the first government, they were at least the first city, U.S. city in the United States to establish a Bitcoin reserve. But I think they beat any state. I think they may have beat, I doubt they would have beat cities, but I doubt they would have beat like counties or anything smaller than that, but certainly citywide, as far as I know, I don't know of any other strategic reserve that came before this. But what you're hopefully seeing here at this point is a document that was submitted to the government of Roswell, New Mexico to receive a gift of Bitcoin. And this was over 3 million sats of Bitcoin. And at the time of the receipt, it was less than $3,000 worth of Bitcoin. And so that has, the Bitcoin itself has grown. They've also received more donations at this point. But essentially what happened is the government was presented this gift. This is the formal recognition of that gift to establish a Bitcoin reserve. And so I'll just read the first paragraph here. It just says, this document acknowledges the city of Roswell, New Mexico's receipt of approximately 3 million Satoshis, worth a fair market value of a little under $3,000 at the time of the receipt, as the first seed donation and hopefully many more to come, establishing the city-held and managed Roswell Strategic Bitcoin Reserve. And so this was ultimately signed by the mayor pro tem at the time. Her name is Juliana Halverson, and her signature here essentially codified the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve for the city through this document. And so this is kind of unique because it's not like this was ever voted on. There were no taxpayer funds reallocated or any money taken from the taxpayers or deviated from another pool. This was a gift. And so it was really, really easy for them to take something that was freely given to them by a donor and then codify that into law by a simple receipt. So, no major laws had to change or anything for them to establish the reserve simply because it was a donation. Backstory here, I'll just kind of tell a story about how this all came to be and where my involvement came into all this. It was all just through happenstance. So I had started building a project called Mana last year, and I had posted a little bit about it here and there on X, but it was far from being done. We were in like the really very early stages of private beta testing. It was like really kind of alpha testing at the time. And I think it was probably the same week we had integrated LNURL, which allowed us to have Lightning addresses. And so that was a really exciting thing for a self-custodial wallet to have a Lightning address, because not very many self-custodial wallets had or even still have that option, because it's a little bit difficult, it's a little bit newer. running LNURL on a custodial wallet is much easier and simpler, but doing it self-custodially is quite a bit more difficult. So we had just rolled this out and we didn't even like make a huge announcement about it. I don't even think that anybody publicly knew about it at this time, but I was on a business call and traveling, and I got a message from this guy. His name's Guy Malone. And he sends me this DM, and I see my DM as I'm driving down the highway, and he's like, "Hey, I got a problem." And Guy's a fantastic guy. He's a wonderful person. And when he says he's got a problem, you know, he's just the kind of guy you stop everything and you do what you can to help him. And so I'm reading this message, kind of trying to pay attention to the road as I'm driving. I saw he said he's got a problem. So what I did is I just called him, and I called him on the phone, and he was literally in tears. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what's wrong, man? How can I help? And he's like, no, it's good. He's like, these are tears of joy. And I'm like, okay, well, what is it? And he's like, so I sent you a picture. Obviously I was on the highway, so I didn't have time to read it. So I asked him about it. He told me about what we just showed here on the screen. He's like, we're going to establish a strategic Bitcoin reserve for the city of Roswell, and I need your help. And I was like, sure, you know, what can I do? And he's like, we need a Lightning address. So we need to be able to receive Lightning donations, receive donations over the Lightning network. Can you do that for me? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And so I actually set the city up with a Lightning address right then and there. As I'm driving, and it only took, you know, just a couple minutes. And so we had essentially a method for people to now donate over the Lightning Network rather than just on layer one, which is pretty helpful for something like donations for a government. Because if you're sending, you know, $1, $5, $10, $20, it's a lot more practical to do over the Lightning Network than on a layer one transaction. So we had to get that set up first. And he wanted to make sure that was going to be an option before, because that I think it was that day he was taking this Bitcoin donation receipt to be signed by the mayor pro tem, Julian Halverson. I think it was that day. So he wanted to make sure that was set up first. And so as a part of this, you know, I got to be involved, Mana got to be involved. And before Mana even launched to the public, it was already receiving its first transaction over the Lightning Network for the donation pool for the government.
That's incredible, man. So talk about happenstance. So what's your perspective at the moment? I know that they're still relatively early on this journey. Is your perspective that they are beginning to understand and appreciate Bitcoin, or was this just a matter of expedience? They said, hey, we're going to get a free gift. Sure, might as well. We'll call it a strategic reserve. Is the mayor or whoever's sort of involved in this, are they orange pilled? Where are they at?
I won't speak on behalf of them per se, but just I give my general perception and understanding. Let me give a little background on where my perspective and understanding comes from. I know Guy pretty well. He and I are good friends, and he's very involved with the government down there. He actually ran for mayor at one point. So he's really well connected. He's actually a little bit of like a local celebrity. Everybody knows Guy. Everybody's friend. He's friends with everybody. He's never met a stranger in his life. I flew down there shortly after this happened. They flew me out, and I spoke in front of the Chamber of Commerce to kind of explain you know, what happened. And I talked about how local businesses can accept Bitcoin as payment. And I got to meet Juliana Halverson at that time, and some of the local community. And this is just my perception and understanding, but they seem to be very, we would probably just say based, right? They're freedom minded. They are liberty focused. They understand the importance of what Bitcoin brings. I don't know if I could, you know, liberally use the word orange pilled just because I don't know where they are on their Bitcoin journey. But they're very receptive to this, and Guy has helped them a lot along the way. And so through this whole process, you know, Guy has always been there as part of this. And so, yeah, I it's been received really well. Like I said, there was not really any pushback because it's not like they were taking taxpayer funds to do any of this. This was all just a free gift. So, it was received well still, you know, from the community members that I was able to speak with. I would say the general perception was they weren't quite on the level of understanding the high level stuff of Bitcoin. But they could see the value in it, especially as Roswell is historically a tourist area. So for anybody that doesn't know what Roswell, New Mexico is, it's a very famous city known for its involvement and surrounding activities and economy and everything that's kind of built around this idea of aliens. So they're like the alien city. So if you ever watch like a sci-fi movie, there's a good chance it's set in Roswell, New Mexico.
Do they have any plans to use the Bitcoin? Are they long-term holders, or is there any kind of plan on accumulating more?
Yeah, I don't want to butcher the specifics. I think it is set up for disaster relief. So I do believe that they intend to use it as needed.
So for like alien invasions, that kind of...
I think like, you know, floods and emergency situations like that to help people. So I don't know where the balance is of how much they're going to hold or how much they're going to use for relief. I know that they're still holding. I think they're holding most, if not all, of everything they've received, and their stack has grown tremendously. They've also publicized their address, and it was on that page that we shot up. I don't have it pulled up here right now, but if anybody wants to scan that QR code, they can actually see their on-chain address.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll make sure we share that. So, you know, I think you both know that we've spent a lot of time on banter mocking the U.S. Strategic Reserve. And recently we saw Bo Hines, you remember what his title was. He left after effectively nothing really happened with it. The reason we wanted to have you on to talk about this was because, to me, to the extent that, you know, government is necessary or an emergent phenomenon in society, my view is this is a much better way to go about it, right? It's a concerned citizen or someone who's heavily involved in the community who says, I think that my community needs, you know, this monetary gunpowder and this strength for the future to build. And it's also happening at such a localized level relative to a national strategic reserve, that it's something that people can, you can meaningfully opt out of Roswell if you don't like the direction that the town's headed, right? And it's much more difficult, and it's a much bigger life decision to opt out of the United States, for example. Do you think that this is I'm always curious if this is going to be one of those things we look back on 10 years from now, and it's going to feel so obvious that everyone else followed suit. To your knowledge, is there anyone else who's kind of waking up to, hey, what's our neighbor over in Roswell doing? Is this something that like is on anyone else's radar from what you can tell? Or is this just like this small group of like-minded people saying, hey, let's do this thing?
I am not aware of anybody that's looking at Roswell as a case study and saying, you know, let's do what they did as a city simply because Roswell did it. It's more of an organic kind of from the ground up grassroots push. This is, you know, concerned citizens, Bitcoiners that want to see their community thrive and opt out of the same problems that we individually try to avoid with fiat currency. And so I think it's just a natural progression to these societies and these governments and these cities, states, whatever, to want to not see them fail. And, you know, certainly there are some people who would probably not mind to see governments fail, but if you live in a particular city, generally speaking, you want that city to thrive and not be stolen from in the same manner that you are as an individual through fiat currency. And So, you know, I think just kind of looking at this big picture, there are kind of two ways of looking at a strategic reserve. Obviously, we have the example of like the United States SBR that was presented. You know, the language, of course, in the executive order was to add to that in a what was the term?
Budget neutral way.
So, you know, not necessarily raising any taxes or whatever. So maybe that just means they're going to steal it from, you know, the criminals or whatever. But nonetheless, it's a totally different ballgame when you're voluntarily contributing. You know, if it's a reserve that's grown and established through plunder, it's generally, for at least a number of people, unpopular. When it is like you just have a Bitcoin address and say, hey, come, you know, do whatever you want, give us Bitcoin if you want, there will be people out there that want to see their government adopting Bitcoin and establishing a reserve. So I think that's very clearly what happened here. I've seen it in other places in the private sector. One example is I have a contact locally. It works for a big firm. I won't say who it is because they haven't come out publicly about their position. But what he did is he started mining Bitcoin in their offices with permission, in order to heat their building in certain areas. And so they had an issue with their heating and air circulation system in their building. And so in the winters, it got really cold in some areas. So he set up Bitcoin miners strategically around the building and pointed the hash to an address, pointed to an address that received the Bitcoin on behalf of the company. And so he was mining for the company, not necessarily with their understanding or knowledge of what was actually happening. But one day, one of the executives came into his area, his office, and just was thanking him for solving their heat problem. And he said, I did solve the heat problem, but guess what? By the way, I also solved another problem. And so he showed them their Bitcoin address and their jaw just dropped, like, because they had mined a significant amount of Bitcoin. And they're like, where did this come from? And he's like, it's the company's. And so they established a company strategic reserve, so to speak, a stockpile. Not only that, but they were so excited about it, they actually started mining on a much bigger scale. So they set up an area. They built a small scale mining farm on site, and then they also contracted mining to another larger mining firm off site. So they are now have a subsector of their business that is just focused on Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, which is really cool. And this is a huge company, by the way. I can't say who it is, but it is a very large company.
That's amazing. Well, it's funny that a large company would have that problem with airflow and getting heat to certain areas of the building, but go figure, a rebellious Bitcoiner could solve the problem and earn them some sats at the same time. Yeah, these are the sorts of stories of that I love, because it's people being thoughtful about how they approach these different parts of their world, right? In the workplace, in the town that they live in. And you've got me thinking now, because I hope that I am living in my forever home right now. My wife and I built this. We live in a community that we love. And to imagine, you know, could I be the one who makes the donation, put some parameters around it that at least to me would seem reasonable, that you're not going to sell this for 5 years or 10 years or something like that, unless it's an emergency, which we don't have a lot of natural disasters by and large where I live. But this to me is like the grassroots movement that people need to get on board with. It starts with your family, it extends to your neighbors, to the people around you, but to the extent that you live in a community of relatively like-minded people and with a potentially receptive group, you know, mayor and some of the people around them, this to me is an exciting thing, because I could not possibly be less interested in what the federal government does with Bitcoin. I'm, to the best of my ability, just ignoring it to the extent that I can. And this is exciting stuff. So I'm really hopeful that we see more and more of this, and that Roswell really is just the beginning. Brewer, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but it's got the wheels turning for me.
Yeah, I love it also. You know, a Bitcoiner solving problems and then introducing Bitcoin as a secondary effect. I mean, that's what we all should be doing. You know, if you care about getting more people into it, help them solve a problem. So I think also donating Bitcoin is such a good thing to do. You're right. It doesn't come with the same sort of spirit that the government confiscating Bitcoin from criminals does. So building a strategic reserve in your town, in your city, and then solving problems like heat in the winter through Bitcoin mining, like those are very practical things that any Bitcoiner can do. So it's, you know, maybe we just need to be better evangelists, you know, and get out there and demonstrate, you know, with our hands, this is what it looks like to be all in on Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I've told you guys offline, like I'm trying to orange pill my church right now, and there are these uphill battles. But for me, like just ethically, I don't feel like it's my role to tell my church what they would do with a gift that I give them, right? I mean, there's sort of a submission to their authority as church leaders or whatever. With my town, I don't like the idea of giving money to government, generally speaking. So I'll put all the strings attached on that gift and just tell them, you can take it or leave it. And to me, that puts you in a position of power to maybe make influence. Because Greer, we had Brandon Gentile on Bitcoin Banter just a bit ago. We were recording with him. And I was expressing, as I have before, my skepticism about like ETFs bringing people into Bitcoin. Like, I think they're just going to see a number go up. I don't think they're ever going to get interested in self-sovereignty unless they have a Bitcoiner in their life who sort of pulls them into that separately. I think with something like this, like the story about the miner, like that's a very different thing because they're now holding Bitcoin in their own wallet. Like they're already there. It isn't paper Bitcoin. It is real Bitcoin. And it's a much bigger step of progress toward onboarding, you know, whether, I don't know who it was, the CEO or the branch manager of that building or the office or what have you, who now is intrigued by what's going on and says, what is this thing? And and now they've expanded their mining operation. To me, like those are the steps that we take as Bitcoiners that have a meaningful impact in the institutions that do materially impact our lives.
Yeah. One interesting subject that I think would be helpful to bring up, just because it's not talked about, in my opinion, enough, is you brought up the fact of, you know, it's not necessarily up to you what they do with a gift after you give it to them, right? So the connotation there is, if you give somebody Bitcoin, you know, you want them to hold it as Bitcoin, but a lot of people might not agree with me on this, but I feel very strongly that we're focusing too much on that. I think it's a better step in the right direction to have somebody or use your Bitcoin in such a way that gets somebody involved in Bitcoin, even in a small capacity. And that is even if they are willing to convert it directly to fiat immediately. And the reason why I say this is because people are worried, like, if I go, whether it's business or donations or any, you know, commercial activity, it doesn't matter. If I'm going to use my Bitcoin and give it to somebody else, I don't want them to sell it. Well, why? Because it just, I don't know, puts downward pressure on the fiat price or something. I don't know. I don't know really what the logic is there. But at this point, you know, Bitcoin's between $2 and $3 trillion asset. Like, if you go give your church, you know, some money, I know Michael is wanting to give them like 1,000 Bitcoin, which might actually affect the price. But for most normal people, it's not gonna matter. But what does matter is now you have the option to involve somebody else in the part of the Bitcoin economy that was not presently involved. And so this actually came up in my speech that I had in Las Vegas at the Bitcoin conference, and that was, you know, people are hesitant to go spend their Bitcoin. And we talked a little bit about like Stake and Shake, because they had recently started taking Bitcoin payments. And it was really popular at the time for Bitcoiners to argue about whether or not they should spend their Bitcoin on burger and fries, delicious beef tallow fries. But the argument from my seat is, go do it, because it is growing the economy. It is providing value in an area of the economy that is new, and today they may be converting directly 100% fiat. But what that does is over time, psychologically, that person that's receiving the Bitcoin and converting to fiat, they're touching Bitcoin, you know, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. They're seeing what Bitcoin is doing, what fiat's doing. And in that position, it's really hard to see that the Bitcoin keeps going up while the fiat keeps going down. So over time, I think that just exposure to Bitcoin, even if, you know, the person on the other end of that transaction isn't necessarily holding all of the Bitcoin today, I still think it is a positive step in the right direction to involve that person in the Bitcoin process.
I think I would probably take the, to some degree, I agree with you. I would probably take the other side of that argument more because I guess my concern would be, so on one hand, I think there's a price to be paid if you give your church or your town or whoever Bitcoin and they immediately sell it, convert it to fiat, they've touched Bitcoin, that's great. I think the greater benefit is actually that if they sell that Bitcoin, they once had it in their possession, and then when they see what happens to the purchasing power of Bitcoin, they actually feel the pain more acutely than just having stayed on the sidelines. It's like it's a more tangible impact that they would feel. The struggle I have with it is that ultimately the reason for my investment in these institutions that affect my life is because I care about myself, my family, my neighbors, the people around me, the people that I attend church with. And I want them, and like in the case of the church, I want the church at large to benefit from that gift. And if they convert to fiat right away, it's a pretty small victory in my view that they have touched Bitcoin. It's a much larger victory if I can convince them and diligently walk them through why they should hold that Bitcoin for longer. So I agree with you. It's a win regardless. It's probably a small enough win that I'd be pretty disappointed if that were the direction that they went.
I don't disagree with anything you said. I think that I totally agree. And I want to be clear, like you should always prioritize giving your Bitcoin to Bitcoiners that are going to keep it if that's an option, right? You want to keep the Bitcoin in the Bitcoin economy. And I'm a huge advocate of doing business with Bitcoiners. Go whatever you need to buy to give your hard-earned, you know, purchasing power away to, go do it with a Bitcoiner. I try to buy, you know, as much as I can with Bitcoin. My meat, my milk, I buy salsa with Bitcoin. I buy my soap with Bitcoin. I give this business to Bitcoiners that I know are, you know, holding the Bitcoin, and they're going to be doing the exact same thing, putting the Bitcoin back into the circular economy. Now, with that said, you know, we talked about, you know, what is the small victory with whether it's your church or Steak and Shake or somebody at the farmer's market? I think one thing that isn't necessarily focused on a ton is that when these businesses and these organizations start accepting Bitcoin, whether or not they're converting it to fiat, what they're doing is they're inviting Bitcoiners into their business or their organization. And over time, they're going to realize, hey, all these people are here for Bitcoin. And then it motivates them to align their incentives, right? And so over time, I think that it's just a natural progression for somebody who's just going from accepting Bitcoin to now, you know, maybe we'll save 5% of our transactions that we're getting through Bitcoin as Bitcoin, and we'll sell the other 95. And then maybe
If you look at Sheetz gas stations, the convenience stores in the Northeast, they're giving you a 50% discount when you pay in Bitcoin. You know, I mean, that's considerable. I mean, I was making a joke that I'll do all my shopping at the gas station, save 50%, save in Bitcoin or spend in Bitcoin. I mean, that completely obliterates the inflation rate.
Do you have Sheetz where you are?
No, I'd have to drive 600 miles to get there. It would still be worth it.
I was going to be jealous.
Might be, man. Yeah, you cover the gas money. Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I think at the end of the day, the takeaway for me is there are ways that there's a prime example here in Roswell where somebody had a desire to bring a sort of an age of prosperity to their town, and they start with something small because that's where most of us can begin. I don't have 1,000 Bitcoin to give to anyone, Adam, unfortunately. Thanks for rubbing it in. And so they start with something small and then just begin to work it. See what you can do to make it grow. I think connecting with you so they could take Lightning payments for people who just wanted to chip in $5 or $20. And here's the thing, man, this sort of story is the reason some Bitcoiner in, you know, the Northeast is going to send sats to some little town in Roswell just because they appreciate what they're doing. It has no impact on their life, but they're going to just help support the people who are trying to promote this bright orange future that we all talk about. And I think starting at this localized level is the way that really happens.
I personally wish all governments operated that way.
Gifts only?
Yeah.
Lightning,
yeah. I mean,
Lightning Network.
I don't, I'm not a huge proponent of, taxes and forced forfeiture of people's property.
Yeah. Make it voluntary.
Yeah. You
as much as you want.
We'd kick you off if you were pro taxes.
I'm going to shut you off right now.
I agree. I think, but this is a great demonstration of what the classical liberals talk about, like this voluntarism into how we fund ourselves, how we create and promote a better society, prioritizing the things that the people actually care about versus having money confiscated from us and put into projects or welfare programs or whatever that most people probably wouldn't prefer. And it's the reason some states, you know, are notably less efficient than others, like California. They've spent, $13 billion on like a high-speed rail that goes like a mile or something to that effect. And it's not going to happen. It's already way over budget, supposed to go hundreds of miles or something. If no one wants that, zero people want a one-mile track of railway that costs $13 billion. And so if we can demonstrate with a real-world example that we can do this on a small scale in Roswell, and then we can do it on a slightly bigger scale, I think it opens up a whole, like, you, it becomes undeniable that what we've been saying about taxation being theft and volunteering your money and your resources for the things that you as an individual, as a family, as a community want, it could have a massive ripple effect. And of course, go figure, Bitcoin is the thing fueling this.
You know what we need?
What's that?
More government. We don't have enough government.
Boo this man.
Yeah. So, Adam, why don't you give any, we're at about a half hour. Why don't you give any parting thoughts, calls to action, anything else exciting you want to share?
Yeah, I think just, on this subject, I love the idea of the voluntarism aspect of the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. I'm not personally a huge fan of the federal reserve for many different reasons, but I think the local focus really fixes a lot of that. So get involved with your community. Orange pill your mayor, or maybe become the mayor. A lot of Bitcoiners are super anti-government, and I can understand and relate and respect to a lot of that, but I think the more effective thing would be to work with your community instead of against it. I think that gets us a lot further. I think that's going to just naturally happen either way. So as Bitcoiners proliferate just in general, they're eventually going to end up in governmental positions. So why not go ahead? If that's something you're interested in, go do it. Go get your government, on a Bitcoin standard. I think that would be awesome. Again, I'm talking about local government. Federal government's a different story.
behind enemy lines.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing the story. And hey, Adam, give a handoff. Tell them where they can find you, where they can find Mana.
Yeah, I am at Adam Semeca on X. And then Mana is at Mana Bitcoin if you're interested in self-custodial Lightning wallet.
Awesome. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. We hope to see you soon. But Adam, thanks for joining as always. Greer, good chatting. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.